Level Pre-1. Listening Section Part 1. Conversation 1.
Hi, have you thought about how we're going to address Taro's behavior at the upcoming parent-teacher conference?
Yes, I've been thinking about it. I'm a bit concerned about bringing up the fact that he uses his hands a lot with his friends. It seems like a sensitive issue, and I'm worried that the parents might be uncomfortable and overreact.
I understand your concern, but I think it's important to discuss it. We should start the conversation by highlighting his positive side first. For example, Taro was very helpful when a new friend joined the class, he loves circle time, and he always cheers up the classroom atmosphere and makes his friends laugh.
That sounds like a good approach. It might make the parents more receptive if we start with the positives. But I'm still not sure if the issue with using his hands is significant enough to bring up right now.
Even if it seems minor, addressing it proactively can help prevent any future issues. We can work together to find strategies that will support Taro. It's better to address it now than to wait until it becomes a bigger problem.
I see your point. What if the parents react defensively or seem upset?
We can handle that by approaching the topic gently. For instance, we could say something like, "We've noticed that Taro is very enthusiastic and expressive, which is great. We've also seen that he sometimes uses his hands a lot during play. We want to make sure we're supporting him in the best way possible."
That sounds reasonable. It might help if we also offer some solutions or suggestions. For example, we could suggest activities that encourage sharing and cooperation or set up some role-playing exercises to help him learn different ways to interact with his peers.
Absolutely. We should be prepared with some practical ideas. And it might be helpful to reassure the parents that we're here to support Taro's growth and development. Emphasize that our goal is to work together to create a positive and supportive environment for him.
Agreed. Let's make sure to emphasize his positive behavior, like how he took the initiative to help a new student feel welcome, as you mentioned earlier.
Absolutely. We should highlight those positive instances to balance the conversation. It'll show the parents that we're not just focusing on the issues, but also recognizing and celebrating Taro's strengths.
I'm feeling more confident about the approach now. Thanks for discussing this with me.
Question 1. To immediately change Taro's behavior. 2. To prevent future issues and support Taro's development. 3. To follow the school's protocol on behavior management. 4. To avoid confrontation with the parents. Question 2. Because the female teacher suggests focusing solely on Taro's strengths during the conference. 2. Because the female teacher provides a balanced approach that includes positive reinforcement and gentle discussion of the behavior. 3. Because the female teacher assures that the parents will not react negatively. 4. Because the female teacher believes Taro's behavior does not need to be discussed at all. Question 3. 1. Ignoring the behavior and focusing on his positive sides. 2. Waiting until the behavior becomes a bigger problem. 3. Proactively addressing the behavior with practical solutions. 4. Punishing Taro for using his hands. Question 4. 1. Taro sits still during circle time. 2. Taro helped a new student feel welcome. 3. Taro is very happy during playtime. 4. Taro likes to work alone.
Conversation 2.
Did you know we had an earthquake last night? I was sleeping, but I woke up. It was big and scary.
Yes, I felt the earthquake too, and I got a little scared. I understand, earthquakes can be scary. But remember, we've been practicing our evacuation drills, so we'll know exactly what to do to stay safe.
But what if I forget what to do when it happens?
That's why we practice so much. The more we practice, the more confident you'll feel. And don't worry, I'll be with you to help if it happens.
Will we have another drill soon?
Yes, we'll keep practicing together. Each time, we'll get better and better at knowing how to evacuate safely. Speaking of earthquakes, let's check our emergency kits now. Do you remember what's inside?
There's water, and food, and a flashlight, right?
Exactly. We also have a radio and some band-aids. Those things will help us if we ever need to leave the building. Let's go through the kit and make sure everything is ready. That way, we'll be even more prepared.
Okay. I feel better knowing we have all this stuff to help us.
That's good. Being prepared helps us feel safer. We've got everything we need, and we'll keep practicing until we're all experts at staying safe.
I'm still a little scared, but I think I can be brave.
You're already being very brave by talking about your fears. And remember, we're in this together. We'll take care of each other, no matter what happens.
Question 5. 1. By reminding the child that earthquakes don't happen often. 2. By explaining that the school building is very strong. 3. By emphasizing that they've been practicing evacuation drills and will know how to stay safe. 4. By telling the child not to worry and ignore the fear. Question 6. One. To help the child feel more prepared and safer in case of an emergency. 2. To see if the flashlight is working. 3. To make sure the child knows what a drill is. 4. To teach the child about first aid supplies. Question 7. 1. Bandages and a whistle. 2. A radio and band-aids. 3. Extra food and blankets. 4. Flashlights and batteries.
Conversation 3.
Hi, do you have a moment? Lately, Risa has been asking to watch YouTube more often, and sometimes she throws a huge tantrum if we don't let her watch, especially since her baby sister was born. We're not sure how to handle it.
It's understandable that she's seeking more screen time, especially with such a big change at home. Sometimes, children look for comfort in familiar things like watching videos. You don't need to completely eliminate her screen time, but minimizing it and keeping a consistent routine can help.
That makes sense. It's been hard to say no, especially with the new baby taking so much of our attention.
I'm sure it's tough. One thing that might help is setting specific times when she can watch. If she knows there's a set time for screen time, it can help manage her expectations. For example, she could watch a short video after finishing a task or after dinner. But try to choose something interactive and educational.
We'll try that. I think she feels a little left out sometimes because of the baby.
That's understandable. You could also balance screen time with activities that allow you to spend some quality time together so she feels more included.
That's a good idea. We've been so focused on the baby that we haven't always thought about how Reese is feeling. We'll work on setting those routines and try to spend more one-on-one time with her.
I'm sure it's been challenging, but don't stress too much. You're doing a great job managing everything. Consistency will help her feel more secure, and those small routines will give her the stability she needs to adjust to the new changes at home.
Question 8. One. She is bored with her toys. Two. She wants to copy her classmates. Three. She feels left out after her baby sister was born. Four. She doesn't like playing outside anymore. Question 9. One. To make sure Risa is not just passively watching, but watching something meaningful. Two. To make screen time more entertaining. Three. To reduce the total amount of time spent watching. Four. To prevent Risa from getting bored with regular content. Question 10. One. It will make it easier to completely eliminate her screen time. Two. It will provide a clear structure, helping to manage her expectations and reduce tantrums. Three. It will allow her to watch videos at any time of the day. Four. It will encourage her to spend more time watching YouTube than before.
Listening section part 2. Passage 1.
We want to reassure you about our comprehensive earthquake safety measures in place at our school. Your children's safety is our top priority, and we have taken several steps to ensure that we are well prepared in case of an emergency. First, safety equipment. Each room is equipped with helmets for every student and staff member. This equipment is designed to protect everyone during an earthquake. Second, emergency supplies. We have a supply of food and water that is sufficient for at least 1 week. These supplies are regularly checked and replenished to ensure we are always prepared. Third, practice and protocol. Our staff and students regularly practice our earthquake evacuation protocol. We carefully review and maintain clear evacuation routes, checking for any obstacles that could impede a safe and swift exit. Fourth, in case of an emergency, please do not panic if you receive notice of an earthquake. We will take care of the situation and ensure your child's safety. It is important that you secure your own safety first and do not rush to pick up your child immediately, as this may create additional risks such as overcrowding. We understand that emergencies can be stressful, but please trust that we have robust procedures in place to handle such situations effectively. Our priority is to ensure that everyone is safe and accounted for. Thank you for your understanding and cooperation. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to contact the school office.
Question 11. 1. Keeping parents constantly updated with information. 2. Balancing safety measures with avoiding panic and disruption. 3. Prioritizing school events over emergency drills. 4. Asking parents to provide extra supplies for emergencies. Question 12. One. To ensure there is enough for extended periods in case of a prolonged emergency. 2. To prepare for a possible school event that requires refreshments. 3. To stock up for a planned outdoor activity. 4. To accommodate the needs of a large number of visitors. Question 13. One. Regular updates to the school's emergency contact list. 2. Increasing the number of emergency drills conducted. 3. Providing additional training for staff on earthquake response. 4. Checking and removing any obstacles on the evacuation routes. Question 14. One. Ensuring their child is picked up as quickly as possible. 2. Waiting for further instructions from the school while securing their own safety. 3. Communicating with other parents for information. 4. Sending messages to the school office for updates. Question 15. One. It could lead to overcrowding and complications in managing the emergency. Two. It might delay the school's ability to access emergency equipment. Three. It could result in the school losing track of students. Four. It might disrupt the regular class schedule during the evacuation.
Passage 2.
There's a common misconception that young children learn best when they are seated quietly. However, this belief overlooks a crucial aspect of early development. Children are inherently designed to move. When movement is restricted, children can become restless and frustrated. This restlessness often manifests as fidgeting and acting out. Repeatedly telling them to sit still can make them feel like failures, as they are naturally inclined to move. Physically, our bodies are designed for movement, such as walking, running, and being upright, rather than sitting for prolonged periods. Forcing children to sit too long can lead to fatigue and an inability to concentrate, which can make them cranky and less able to focus. Movement is not only about comfort, it plays a vital role in developing children's sense of body awareness and balance. These senses help us understand our body's position and movement in space. Activities such as spinning, swinging, running, and rolling down hills, these natural movements that children are often discouraged from doing, are essential for developing these senses. These activities prepare children to sit still when necessary by naturally integrating sensory experiences into their play. Research indicates that limiting opportunities for such physical activities can hinder the development of these crucial senses and contribute to issues like restlessness and difficulty concentrating. For this reason, it's important to provide children with ample opportunities to engage in physical activities. Allowing them to move and explore helps to foster their overall development, enabling them to sit and focus when needed. As educators and caregivers, it's important to recognize the value of movement in a child's learning process. Creating environments that support active play helps children develop the sensory and motor skills necessary for effective learning and concentration. By understanding and accommodating children's need for movement, we can better support their growth and learning, setting the stage for successful and enjoyable educational experiences. In conclusion, the role of an educator extends beyond traditional teaching methods to include fostering environments that respect and incorporate children's natural need for movement. Supporting this need not only enhances their physical health, but also their cognitive and emotional development, preparing them for a balanced and engaging learning experience.
Question 16. One. That children learn best in highly structured and inactive environments. Two. That children require frequent academic testing to succeed. Three. That children need less physical activity to improve concentration. Four. That children should be discouraged from engaging in messy play. Question 17. One. By assuming children will easily adjust to being inactive. Two. By ignoring the benefits of movement for sensory and motor skills. Three. By focusing too much on academics over physical growth. Four. By downplaying the importance of play in education. Question 18. One. They are not motivated to engage. Two. They are overstimulated by the classroom. Three. They have too much energy to release. Four. Their natural need to move is disrupted, causing discomfort. Question 19. One. They improve problem-solving skills. Two. They build endurance for sitting. Three. They develop body awareness and balance, crucial for sensory and motor skills. Four. They offer short-term fun without lasting benefits. Question 20. One. Children are meant to move, and restricting this hinders development. Two. Children need more sitting time to improve learning. Three. Prolonged sitting will improve their concentration. Four. Physical activity isn't needed for effective learning.